Hello, I'm Justin Griffiths, partner and head of real estate at Powers Court, and welcome to episode 11 of the Powers Court Friday Fix. In the first series of our podcast, we've so far covered an enormous range of subjects, from online harms to reforming the Official Secrets Act, and from the potential of fusion energy to the most important round of local elections we've seen in years. But today, a subject that is close to many of our lives in some way or another, and around which media debate continues fiercely, the future of the office. So I'm delighted to be joined by Charlie Green, co-founder and co-CEO of our client, The Office Group, or TOG as they're more commonly known as. Welcome, Charlie. Thank you for giving us your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, for any of our listeners who haven't come across TOG either as a customer or, like me, someone who's just had major office envy whenever I go into one of your buildings, could you just tell us a little bit about your company to start with?
We started the business 19 years ago. And when I say we, it was myself and my business partner, Ollie Olson. And we essentially came from a real estate background, had exposure to the serviced office world as was then, and really looked at the office environment that we were creating for the businesses that we work for. I think it's fair to say that we were both working on spaces and creating these offices that we did not want to work in ourselves. And there was something that lacked such congruency there that we thought, well, what if we created something that we would want to work in? And that's what we set out to do 19 years ago. And today we are essentially providers of flexible workspace. We have 52 buildings, 2.25 million square feet. 44 of the buildings are in London. We've just grown and expanded into Germany as our first international location with 5 buildings there. So it's been an interesting journey that has perhaps been the most interesting over the last couple of years.
And you mentioned flex or flexible workspace. I mean, how's that different then from traditional office space, other than what you said in terms of it's just a place where people want to be more than a normal office?
Well, I think look at the inherent structure of what a flexible contract is, and what you're taking, the very first ingredient in this piece is that companies who are taking space in the flex industry from us and others like us are essentially gaining risk management, because they have a contract. Traditionally, the occupational lease is sort of a 10-15 year contract that you enter into. But with us, this is the sort of the ultimate flexibility to move in within 24 hours, the ability to upsize, downsize very quickly, to exit if you need to exit, and to do that fast. So you can really manage your risk. And I think that has become very clear over the last couple of years through the pandemic, as companies were looking to manage their cost exposure through their occupational costs of space that they had. And it's fascinating, because as we look to the volume of demand for flexible space today, it's significantly higher than it was pre-pandemic.
And that demand, I mean, when you think about flex space, you sort of have in your mind it's more the sort of trendy startups that come in, and maybe that's more sort of co-working, which is a bit different. But actually, large corporations are sort of embracing flex as well, aren't they? And making that a key part of their real estate strategies. BP, GSK, for example, are two big clients of TOG's. I mean, how are they looking at things?
Well, you really need to strip it down. Whether you're a startup of 2 people, a small business of 10 people, or a major corporate, every business owner is thinking about the people who work for them and what are they trying to create for those people. What we're thinking about is, does this building, this location work for individuals? That is understanding their experience as they approach the building, their experience when they walk into the building, how they're greeted, what is the level of service that we can create to look after those people? What is the choice that we're giving people to suit how they work? Because everybody works differently from each other. So I might be sitting at a desk working on my emails, and the next moment I might be in an open plan area or in a meeting, or I may need quiet, or I may want to feed off the energy of having other people around me. It's providing that choice. And by the way, design and creating something that is aesthetically beautiful is super important too.
And I guess the point about what individuals want is probably more important now than it ever has been, as we've seen a real change in working habits and attitudes during and since the pandemic. There's a lot of coverage around a reluctance by some to come back to the office. You've got Lord Sugar labelling these people lazy gits. You've got Boris Johnson trying to encourage people back to work. There was an interesting article in The Telegraph a couple of weeks ago that refer to London effectively as the home working capital of Europe, particularly in middle-aged professionals, you know, quite successful, who've sort of got used to the creature comforts at home during lockdowns and now don't really want to come back. You know, what are you seeing on the ground?
Well, I think there are some truths that apply, because it's hard to say what the changes are moving forward. It's everything's changing fast, and what we see today will not necessarily be the case in 6 months. I think the truths that we have are this affects everybody. So it's not about certain companies or certain sectors. And then it's not a generational issue. This isn't about Gen Z or millennials. Everybody is affected. Every single employer that has ever worked in an office is thinking about how they use the office, right? So the narrative that we saw at the beginning of lockdown, the office is dead, that just was never going to be how people are going to work moving forward. And we're seeing this as evidenced in the buildings that we've opened in the last period, in the last 2 years, have all been tremendously successful, which demonstrates that the demand is there. Retaining talent being challenging in this market, because for a number of reasons, we have that great resignation. People want variety, people want change, people have moved out of London, people want more money, people are thinking about purpose and what they want from their careers more. So they are trying different things. So holding on to people is tough. And the work environment is one tool at the disposal of employers that can be used to attract people back to the office.
The great resignation, I mean, that is an interesting point. I think PwC produced some research quite recently saying that one in five employees of the 50,000 that they spoke to were considering leaving their roles. And actually a big part of that decision-making was the working environment and the ability to have flexible or hybrid arrangements.
So this is it, right? So one is the environment and the other is the kind of the hybrid arrangement. And so the overarching truth that affects everybody is that it is never going to be the same as it was before. What does it look like moving forward? I'm born and raised in London. It's a wonderful city. I will never leave it, but it is also a hard, tough city. And if you think about the pace that we all worked at before and the commute and the intensity of that, what the pandemic has given us is, I think, permission to just approach that differently for us to take ownership more of how we want to work and how we want to live, provided that we're still doing the work and provided that we still have the majority of the week, I'd say, where we do come to a place that is that nurtures work, that encourages work, that allows us to collaborate with our colleagues.
At this point, it's probably the right time to invite you to create office envy amongst all of our listeners, myself included. Well, sort of paint us a picture of what one of these offices, one of your offices, looks like. You spoke earlier about wellness suites, meditation rooms. You know, buildings I've been to have sort of bars on the top, gyms in the basement. You know, what are we missing here?
Look, we're trying to delight the people who come to our buildings. So when Ollie and I started the business, we were inspired by everything other than an office. So we were inspired by people's homes, by bars, restaurants, hotels, boutique hotels, private members clubs. All of those started to inform how we thought about the design of space. And choice, because as I mentioned, comes into that in such a significant way. So I think we are investing more heavily than we ever have before in creating these spaces. But we're thinking then about the content, thinking about creating areas, phone booths or gym membership, podcast studios, which we're now putting into buildings because we understand how video and audio is such an important part of content moving forward for all businesses. You know, what is it that people have had in their homes that they've enjoyed? Sometimes they work at a kitchen table, sometimes at a desk, sometimes on a sofa, sometimes we don't have beds. I think we have two apartments in the portfolio. But taking learnings from how people have worked in the last couple of years and really thinking about how we apply that into our buildings now.
One of the topics we haven't yet touched on, but an important one nonetheless, is the sort of the impact that offices have on local communities in terms of both social and economic. And I guess we've really seen the impact on local businesses by an absence from the office during the pandemic. And I guess that's one of the reasons here why the government is keen to encourage people back. So is that a valid reason to be pushing for a return to work in your opinion?
Oh, I think so. I think we have a role to play. And I think that the community impact is really important to us. We're constantly thinking about, with every building, our teams are engaging with local restaurants and coffee shops, trying to see how we can benefit our clients. And I think we're there to add to the local economies. I think that's incredibly important. So we have a role to play with that, but it's also, it extends beyond the economics. I think there's something about, you know, what can we contribute in terms of culture. We are, the black and white building is an interesting building, so we're just redeveloping it, but we always had an art exhibition the last Thursday of every month, and we had queues going around the block to get into that. That was about the local community. As we redevelop it and we open it later this year, that will have both furniture made by local makers, so we're feeding back into the community that way, and then we'll reignite the art exhibition as well. So people want to feel like they're part of something.
A very timely segue into my last question, which is around sustainability and the role that buildings play in helping tenants, customers, members reach their sort of own net zero targets. And Black and White Building is a sort of timber frame building, isn't it? It's very innovative in its sustainable approach. I mean, what role do buildings have in terms of helping us all achieve our environmental goals?
Well, I think as a building owner, I think we have a responsibility to do as much as we possibly can for the environment, to try and reduce carbon emissions from both construction and operation of buildings. I find it frustrating that more isn't being done in terms of new methods of construction that are more sustainable, and hopefully Black and White will demonstrate that it really is doable and achievable, and more people should be doing it. We can demonstrate our reduced carbon in terms of our embodied carbon and carbon emissions in that building is significantly lower than a steel and concrete equivalent building. But I think more than that, it's a mindset change. And how do we in developing this building go beyond just the building? What is the message that we're sending out? And all of the people who rent space from that building have this vicarious benefit of saying that they are ticking their own ESG box, that they are being responsible in their way by just renting space in that building.
Thanks very much, Charlie. It's been really great talking to you today. Really interesting conversation about the future of the office. I think it's clear that far from being dead, the office is alive and kicking, just not as we used to know it. And certainly I think we can all expect to get more from it in the future, or at least in my case, hope. But
You're welcome anytime.